There comes a time for all of us when things that we used to consider quite okay become minor irritations. Those minor irritations then become major annoyances. It's about then that we recognise a familiar ring to the things that slip out of our mouths. We start to realise that it's because we're beginning to sound just like our parents. We complain about the music our kids are listening to, the clothes they wear, and the things they say. Then we start getting grumpy with everything around us. Two ladies who know just what I'm talking about are Jenny Eclair and Linda Robson, who are in Perth for Grumpy Old Women Live. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Hello, thank you very much for having us.
It's lovely to have you here. I must say that when I first sat down and watched the first Grumpy Old Men TV show, I thought I'd have a bit of a laugh, but then I realised that it's actually serious commentary on modern life.
I also realised you were sort of looking in the mirror.
I found that I agreed with far too much of it, and I realised I'd become a grumpy old man
on the sofa. Yes, you're absolutely right.
I guess that's
String them up.
I guess that's why grumpy old men and grumpy old women work so well on TV. It really connects to the way we're feeling.
Yeah, it's a huge audience as well. I mean, there's a line in our show, not the funniest line, so I won't sort of go on about it, but it's the biggest demographic. Middle-aged women are actually the biggest lump of people.
More middle-aged women than any other age group in the country. Why?
Because we live longer than men.
We're having fewer children. We outnumber everyone.
And therefore, we rule. and that is true. So I think that, you know, that's part of its success, is that it has got a huge audience who are sitting there at home going, that's you. Yes, that's me. Oh, look, I say that. I do that. And so it's this comedy of recognition, really.
Well, that's what, you know, the audience have been saying to us, is that we feel like you've got a camera, you're spying on us in our homes, you know.
And that's actually how it was written.
For those who perhaps don't know you so well, let's start with you, Jenny. Give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of your background.
Oh, you asked me to talk about myself. I might never stop. It's my favourite topic. You've opened a real can of worms, Rodney. No, I was a stand-up comic for many, many years, award-winning. And then I got to the legs kind of went and became more of a sit-down comic. I wrote a couple of novels and quite a sort of radio drama. And then my career was just bumping along quite sort of, you know, very averagely. I was doing all right, but Grumpy Old Women really did give it a bit of a kickstart. And I suddenly became, because Linda's been famous for a very, very long time. I mean, she's sort of,
she's very old, so she's been for a long, long time.
But she was a child star and all that sort of thing. I just get quite jealous, actually, travelling around with Linda, because she, you know, people will elbow you out of the way to get to Linda in the autograph, and then me peevishly in the background going, and what about me? But I mean, I've been in business for 25 years, but that's nothing compared to this one. So I'll hand over now to Ms. Robson.
That wasn't too bad, actually. You didn't waffle on for too long.
I edited myself down.
I know, yeah. No, I'm 49, and I started at my primary school probably about 40 years ago. I think in January, next January, I'll have been in the business. So for quite a long time, and lots of different things, really. Mostly TV sort of work. I did a series called Shine on Harvey Moon for about 6 years.
And how old were you when you were doing that?
I think I was in sort of late 20s, early 30s. No, late 20s. And then, oh no, I didn't do it. I did it early 20s. And then I had Lauren, stopped for a year, and then went back and did some more. So I had Lauren at 25, so it was early 20s. Then I did that for, that was probably about 6 years, I think. And then the writers of Shine and Harvey Moon were the writers of Birds of a Feather. So they wrote Birds of a Feather for me and Pauline Quirk. Pauline came into an episode of Shine and Harvey Moon.
And how many episodes did they write of Birds of a Feather? Was it meant to be just six episodes?
There were six episodes, and while we went out, the first show went out when we were still recording about episode 4 or 5, and they said that they were probably going to pull the plug on it because there'd been 100 and something complaints because Pauline had said a bad word about her husband in the first show, and they were quite upset that women would use that word.
Really? Yes. Can you remember what the word was?
It was the B word. Started with a B and ended with a D.
I've got it. I'm good at Scrabble.
So, yeah, she called her husband a B because he was carrying on with every woman on the sort of estate and everything, and he treated her quite badly, and he deserved to be called B, actually. Yeah. So that went for about 11 years. I remember 106 episodes, I think, of that we did. And I've done quite a lot of theatre and got a new TV project coming up with Pauline about two friends that meet at a school reunion. We're filming a pilot for that in September time. So, yeah, it's been, I mean, that's sort of the abridged version, you know, this 40 years squeezed into five minutes.
The thing is, Birds of a Feather is sort of a global phenomenon. I don't know whether it's, because you've been in Spain and you've seen sort of Spanish.
Dubbed, yes.
That must be fun.
But I think that a lot of people would be really pleased to see you and Pauline back together. I think it's that sort of, people like friendships on screen. I think that's also why they like watching Grumpy Old Women live, because there's quite obviously a friendship between the three of us on stage. Dilly can't be here because she's having a quick holiday before we
start.
She's
in Boom.
Well, yeah, she'll be back tonight. Well, she better had because we open tomorrow. I do think that there's something very, very charming about seeing friendship. That's why I think Birds of a Feather was so popular, because it reminds people of the friends that they have in their own lives. It's difficult to explain this, but I do.
It's sort of a chemistry, I think, yeah, as well. There was no sort of competition. It was just like a real proper sort of, well, we've grown up together. We've been friends since primary school. And then Leslie Joseph came in and it just all sort of gelled, really. Mm. I mean, she, you know, it must have been really hard for her coming in with us two that had grown up together. And but it just sort of worked. And that's what people are always saying, you know, like, how do you make that? I mean,
it's the last ingredient.
It's like only fools and horses. It's like all of those things.
You can have brilliant writing, you can have a brilliant director, but if the casting isn't absolutely, that's an extra thing. And that's the same with Grumpy Old Women Live. Mm. It's not an easy show to do, in fact, because it requires some quite odd skills. It's not a sit-down show. It's not sort of, a lot of people think it's going to be like the Vagina Monologues, which is three women sitting on stools.
It's more like Charlie's Angel. I mean, we don't, it's like a workout for 2 hours on stage. We don't stop, do we?
We don't stop.
It really is. That when we do the two shows a day, that is a killer.
Yeah, it really is. It's quite tough. It's an odd mix of sort of, it's a triple act, really, because all three of us are on stage at the same time. And it's a mixture of sort of like stand-up, ish, but not as hard as stand-up, and then there's monologues, and there's, we all have a party piece.
Of course, it was very successful in England
and all around the UK.
But did you wonder how it was going to be when you brought it to Australia?
Yeah, and I'd be lying if I said there weren't teething difficulties. We had to spend the first 2 weeks tweaking. There are things that
Australianising it,
yes,
really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can't say Sainsbury's because you don't have Sainsbury's. You have Coles, and you have, and it's just things like that. You just, in fact, now it's going to be a bit weird.
Changing it back to Sainsbury's, Marks and Spencers, and all that.
Yes, you put in Myers, and you sort of, you know, so that people aren't stuck. Sorry, thinking, what do they mean? You know, because we have Peter Jones, and you have David Jones. You know, but you don't want to hold the audience up away from the joke by them thinking, what's Peter Jones?
One of the things that we noticed as well here was that Jenny had a line in the show about asking for a glass of water in a restaurant, and at home in England they really do get upset if you want tap water. Here you walk into a restaurant and everyone just automatically hands you a glass of, or a jug of tap water,
of cold water. So things like that you know, a gripes in England we had to edit out. We had to sort of find new gripes for Australia. You don't have badly filled sandwiches here. We are constantly ripped off in sandwich bars, where you pick a sandwich and it looks like it's bulging at the seam, but in actual fact, behind that seam, there's nothing there.
They've hollowed it out.
The back of the sandwich is empty. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a sort of, and that lands very well in the UK because everybody's had that experience. But here, your sandwiches are actually full to bursting point.
Your food, unfortunately, is very good.
Yeah, and the portion control is non-existent. So that comes.
Well, we've only moaned in one restaurant, haven't we? Because we had quite a small portion,
although
it was very good.
It was delicious, but it was a tiny bit.
We had to ask the waitress where the meat was, and she had to point it out to us because we couldn't see it.
She actually pointed at the meat with her finger. She said, there's a bit there, and there's a bit there.
No, yeah.
What was it like when you first got that phone call? We're doing a show, Grumpy Old Women, and we think you fit the bill.
And I was skint. They offered me a good amount of money for it. I'm a hired gun, and I have no problem, especially with, they're often called talking head shows, and to be actually quite honest, I was getting to a point where I thought, I've really got to stop doing these shows because I'm just being a rent-a-gob, you know, because you get asked to comment on all sorts of things, and some of them are done really, really cheaply.
It can be like your 100 best films, and then they send you all the films and ask you to comment on every film. It's like they are done. It's like cheap telly a lot of the time.
Yeah,
isn't
I was sort of slightly wary of it being something like that, but because they were paying quite well, I thought, oh no, this is more grown up. And then met the producer who I eventually ended up co-writing the show with, Judith Holder, and she was so thorough. You just, as soon as she walked into the room, you knew you were in very capable hands and she was going to make a really good job of this. Because it's kind of been her, it's a big part of her life. It's her big baby.
But it's a funny thing, because when I got asked to, I just thought, oh, that grumpy old women, how dare they? You know, like,
grumpy, look at her with her arms folded.
Yeah. But and so you go along and it's probably about 2 hours that you sit in a room somewhere and they just sort of fire questions at you. Yeah. And you answer the questions. And so you never realise that this television, this 2 hours, would end up being like all over the world. You know, here we are in Australia. It's really popular in Australia. Little did you know when you did that 2 hours,
yeah,
that morning, all those years ago,
and it was going to resonate with so many women,
you know,
around
and here
the world.
We are in Australia doing a live show, you know,
setting you up to tour the world.
You just thought it's a 2 hours, you forget about it, take the money and run, you know, like
we normally do. But no, what is interesting is that we have had American producers interested in the live show. They came to Australia, to Sydney, to see it, and they were genuinely really, really sort of blown away by it, sort of surprised by all sorts of things, but the trouble is that America will never take the TV series. They have tried and tried and tried, and America just cannot bear the word old in a TV title. They don't want, and they're not denying the fact that middle age happens, but they'd really rather not be reminded. So that is probably why the live show will stall in America. I don't think it will. I'd love it to take off there, obviously.
You could have Sharon Stone doing my part.
Oh, I don't think she's quite good enough. Because apparently Rosie O'Donnell was it?
Yeah,
Or who's the other one that's a big girl that one? Roseanne.
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr was interested in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
she can't move her face anymore, can she?
That's another thing, is that, you know, it does require no vanity whatsoever.
We're all Botox free.
Yeah.
As you can see.
yeah. No, Dilly's had some done, but as she said, her frowning muscles are so strong, she beat the Botox. She had Botox and it worked for a day, and then 3 days later, it was all back.
I mean, but you are really opening up. The other stuff that you've done in the past, you can be a character. But in this, you're actually talking about the things that annoy you in real life.
Also, what happened, I mean, we've been around right from the very beginning, really. And we, like Jenny and Judith obviously wrote it, and then we sort of workshopped it. So you put a little bit of your own character into, or Jenny and Judith doing, along with yourself. So there is a little bit of each of us.
Because I'm there in the rehearsal room as a writer as well as a performer, you pick up on the stuff that Dilly and Linda would be talking about off set, you know, sort of while they're having a cup of coffee before. And as the director said, sometimes he didn't know when the show was on or when, you know, and when we were rehearsing and when we weren't rehearsing, because it was kind of seamless, you know, because it just kept going, really. And you know, you keep your ear to the ground, and she'll say something and I'll just scurry away and write it in a notebook, and then hey presto, it's in the script.
I mean, obviously if the show was just about people getting on there and having a whinge, it wouldn't
be
a lot
boring.
Of fun, but there is a lot of fun in the show, and sort of it's not so much poking fun at the things that annoy you, but I guess poking fun at ourselves for the things that get under our skin.
It would be it would be awfully dreary if we just sat there going, ooh, and doesn't this make you cross? No, I hate that, and all that sort of thing. There's a lot more life to it than that. It's a sort of...
It's a really fun, entertaining night out. People leave the theatre. I mean, you know, their tummies are aching because they've not stopped laughing. And we've had loads of standing ovations, which apparently is quite unusual. You know, I mean, we didn't know. We just thought, well, that's what they do in Australia. They stand up at the end of the show. But we've been told since that, you know, it takes a lot for them to get up. So they do really enjoy the show. It's a really good, entertaining, fun night out.
It's not anti-men either. It's a sort of, it really is. It's for the boys as well. I mean, obviously, sort of, you know, it's a much higher percentage of the audience is female. Though we found that the Australian male is slightly braver than the British male. And is
well,
more...
I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
it,
good,
honestly,
I'm glad.
You'll love it. You really will, because that's what we're saying. We're, the three of us are in very happy relationships. We love our men. We're not out there to have a go at you. We're celebrating our men, you know.
To be quite honest, we've all morphed into each other anyway. There's not much difference between a middle-aged man and a middle-aged woman, you know. We're both hairy and a bit bosomy. And it's. I think we're all in this together. It's kind of, it's not a dividing thing, really. It's a sort of, obviously it has more of a female angle because it's written by women and it has women in it. But there's plenty for the blokes to sort of sit there. And even if it's just sitting there and sort of saying to the missus, you know, that's you, that is. You know.
And there is a little section where it turns and the women are saying to men, that's you, yeah. That is.
You mentioned before a few of the things that you're enjoying about Australia and some of the things that are good here. But have you found things to be grumpy about while you've been here?
Not enough.
I know, yeah. Well, there's one thing, and I suppose people are bored of hearing us saying it now, but we've not found it so much in Perth because, I mean, it's quite small. When you can sort of get around on foot, we've been walking around, but the taxi drivers in general in Australia,
in Melbourne,
we hate them.
Sydney,
we hate them.
Particularly.
I can't tell you.
I think it's because, it's sort of, in London particularly, you have to work so hard to do the knowledge, and you've got to know
it
London
takes you
like
three
the
or
back
four
of
years.
Your hand to get your driver's badge, you know, and that sort of thing. But, you know, there's something in the news today that there's a lot of Australian taxi drivers who are refusing to pick up blind people because they don't want dogs in the car. All this nonsense. So it's not just us.
No.
You're on the ball with that one as well. No, I mean, you don't have quite so much to complain about. Your weather, mind you,
it turns grey and dull. I can't tell
yeah.
you.
We yeah, bring but a little had, bit of England with us.
We've had drought, so we're thankful yeah. for that.
That's it why does. We think they've brought us over, because wherever we go, it rains. The next time there's a drought, get us back. That's what the
airport, yeah. Yeah, that's one thing Dilly gets all upset about in the hotel, that there's not enough discouragement not to waste water. But actually, this is honestly, I do find your telly a bit weird.
Yeah.
I do find
the infomercials. Now we're getting to the truth.
Yeah, I know. And now I'm going to
stop
elaborating. The infomercials, you'll have a morning show, which is quite similar to one of our morning shows. But then, bizarrely enough, there'll be something like, there's a sudden time warp.
And
it's back
to
1956. And there'll be some bloke going on about a ladder for 20 minutes. The, you know, extendable ladder.
Or a Hoover. Hoover's very popular.
But it is a good ladder.
I tell you, I've never screamed so much at the television in my life. So there we go. That is something that I have to avoid, some of the morning shows. That
we've been, just because of the adverts.
Yeah, the adverts.
It sounds like the show's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. It's opening tomorrow evening at Burswood Theatre and running for 8 shows. It's been so lovely to have you here. Jenny Eclair and Linda Robson, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you there.